On his first full day in office, President Trump rescinded restrictions on immigration officers arresting people at sensitive locations, places like hospitals and churches. Faith groups have sued the federal government over the change. They say it infringes on their religious freedom. Last month, a federal judge in Maryland temporarily blocked the Trump administration from sending immigration agents into the Quaker, Baptist, and Sikh congregations that sued.
But that ruling doesn't cover other houses of worship across the country who say the uncertainty has had a chilling effect on their ministries. We'll now hear from three reporters who talk to religious leaders across the country about how they are dealing with the confusion and ambiguity while trying to stay true to their religious values. We start this report with Patrick Davis in Austin, Texas.
For Reverend Jim Rigby at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, one question is top of mind.
What are the plans if ICE does knock on the door right now?
Well, that's what I'm feverishly trying to figure out. Like, I'm trying to talk to lawyers.
Since 2016, St. Andrew's Church has sheltered Hilda Ramirez and her son, Yvonne. They fled Guatemala to escape domestic violence and first reached the U.S. in 2014. Ramirez applied for asylum when she arrived, but was denied. Ramirez has talked to NPR in the past, but doesn't feel safe giving interviews since President Trump, who campaigned on promises of mass deportation, took office in January. While Rigby is seeking legal advice, he's also looking for direction in his Bible.
To me, the bottom line is more gospel than it is legal. If there is religious liberty, we should have religious liberty to obey Scripture and its commandment to treat the immigrant as well as we treat citizens.
Others at St. Andrew's are talking directly about how to deal with a potential ICE raid. Reverend Babs Miller has hosted two ICE seminars in the church sanctuary.
We know that Hilda and Yvonne have a target on their back because they have been very outspoken about their situation. We've done everything we can to make sure that even though they have that target, they're safe here.
Miller said that Ramirez was issued a stay until 2026 and that her son Yvonne now has a green card. Still, Miller said, doubts remain.
In the best of worlds, they both would be very, very safe. In our current world, we don't know.
In this climate of uncertainty, Miller said the St. Andrew's congregation cannot make any assumptions. For NPR News, I'm Patrick Davis in Austin, Texas.
And I'm Sarah Ventry. Churches like St. Andrew's are doing this work because they believe they have a religious obligation to do it. Linda Rabin is a professor at the University of Maryland, who's written about the idea of sanctuary.
Jesus himself, before he was born, his parents sought sanctuary.
Rabin says that during the 1980s, when the sanctuary movement started, it was reported that there were more than 400 congregations involved. Sanctuary has often meant that the person or family being housed is under immediate threat of deportation.
So if they give shelter to somebody, they are not protected by the law to do that.
But now, under the Trump administration, churches are thinking more expansively about the concept, to include migrants who fear that new policies could suddenly make them vulnerable to arrest or deportation. Many pastors say they're concerned about their flocks.
We now have signs up saying that ICE are not able to enter the space without a signed judicial warrant.
Reverend Ashley McFell Irwin is the pastor at Lakeview Presbyterian Church in Chicago. She says that while her congregation was doing immigration work before the election, they've had to step up their efforts since then.
We have held multiple trainings for church members because on Sunday mornings, we are a public building and our doors are open. And so we just feel like it's best to be prepared.
McFell Irwin and others say that when the church is open for worship is when they're most vulnerable. Asked for comment about the Trump administration's change in the sensitive locations policy, Department of Homeland Security spokesperson Tricia McLaughlin said in part, "Our officers use discretion. Officers would need secondary supervisor approval before any action can be taken in locations such as a church or a school. We expect these to be extremely rare." Lakeview Presbyterian has housed two different families since October 2023. The congregation knew they wanted to, but weren't sure they could manage it logistically. But then community volunteers gave them some encouragement.
We had what at that point was a Sunday school classroom, but it actually has a little kitchen in there. And they were like, you know, this could pretty easily be turned into a studio apartment.
McPhail Irwin said she wanted to keep the details about the family living there private. With so much uncertainty, she doesn't want to take any chances with their safety. Sarah Ventry, NPR News.
I'm Anna King in Central Washington State. This is ag land. Think hops, cherries, apples. For generations, the people here have relied on migrant labor to harvest the crops. Bishop Joseph Tyson is the leader of the Yakima Diocese. He says more than 30% of his parishioners are likely in the country without legal status.
I'm heartened that we haven't had a noticeable drop in numbers at our Sunday Masses in Spanish. Folks are coming.
Tyson says people should be able to flee violence and poverty, and the United States has sent mixed messages to potential migrants.
We're saying, yeah, we need your work, but no, don't come. But yes, come, but don't come. The goalposts have moved around a lot.
The Yakima Diocese isn't publicly offering sanctuary in their churches, but Catholics in the diocese are offering legal advice and places to hide for vulnerable migrants. Jesus Mariscal is the parochial vicar of St. Paul Cathedral in the Yakima Diocese. After one service, several of his Anglo parishioners messaged him privately. He read a text from one.
If ever you know or hear of someone who needs a place to literally hide from mice, send them to my house. The key is under the front mat. And then they gave me the address.
Mariscal says before he became a priest, he was a kid who crossed the border without documentation at 12. He says it's a beautiful feeling to know people who are generous and who risk their lives to offer sanctuary for others.
And I feel like my chest is filled with something in my mind. And I feel like my brain also, the blood rushes to my head and I get goosebumps. And I get watery eyes. That's how the feeling I get when I get these offers from these people.
For NPR News, I'm Anna King in Yakima, Washington.
This story was co-reported by Anna King at Northwest Public Broadcasting, Sarah Ventry, and Patrick Davis.